Hello, friends, and welcome back to the second hour of Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting today from one of the world's most spiritual places. This is beautiful Mount Shasta in Northern California. Underneath Mount Shasta, of course, is the beautiful city of Telos. And tonight, we hope to meet with the people of Telos and Adama. We did some meditations this morning before some portals for the Hollow Earth. And one of us, Linda. Oh, there you are. Good. You actually saw, went into Telos, and you'll have to tell us about that. We had a whole full show during the first hour about it. During this part of the program, I'll be interviewing a fascinating fellow named Rex Baer of the League Project. Rex does wonderful work. He's got so many listeners or viewers on YouTube, and his purpose, like mine and like Regina's and everyone else, Laurie McDonald, is to make this world a better place. So we're all on the same page with that. Also, I wanted to ask everyone to, I firmly believe in the power of prayer, so please pray for Emily, a friend of mine in Seattle. I know that your beautiful love, light, and positive energy will really help you. Denise Bartlett is one of the sponsors of this program, and she's a wonderful person who offers hot water healing and life coaching sessions in the Portland, Oregon area. If you like, please visit her website at www.hihotto.com. She's a certified hot instructor, and her phone number, if you'd like to call her, is 425-306-6316, or you can email her at denise.barrett@hihotto.com. I'll explain that. I'll spell that out for you. It's Denise, D-E-N-I-S-E dot Barrett, B as in boy, A-R-R-E-T-T at hihotto.com. Real brief, on December 14th, I'll be having my own psychic fair in Olympia, Washington at 9101 Stillicum Road, Southeast. There'll be readings there, crystal sellers, and I hope you can come. It's a free event. If you need more information, please give me a call at 509-750-9793. The following weekend, on September 22nd, I'll be giving a presentation as an update on messages from the masters on my book detailing messages from Albert Einstein, Nostradamus, President Kennedy, and many other great spirits before the Unity Church in Bellingham. The event is free, and I hope you can come. And finally, I am writing a book right now on contacting the other side, how to contact your angels, spirits, and as well as benevolent extraterrestrials. I hope to get the book done within the coming month. It's been a slow process this summer, but as soon as it's done, I'll let you know. I already have a publisher ready to publish it, so I just need to sit down now and finish writing it. And with that, I'd like to bring on my good friend Rex Baer. Rex, are you there?
Yeah, hey, how the heck are you?
Oh, hi, Rex. So good to talk to you again. I met Rex last weekend at the UFO Fest in Yelm, Washington, sponsored by a wonderful lady named Jane of the Triad Theater in Yelm. I was doing readings at my little booth table, and Rex, with his wonderful smile, came up and had a little camera, and we started talking, and he said, "How would you like a video?" So he interviewed me, and I had a wonderful time talking to him, both me and Michiko of Tokyo Talk gave interviews, and I think we've had thousands of viewers since to watch both videos. Thank you so much, Rex. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, that was fun. The audience really enjoyed it too. The two videos are close to 20,000 views now. It's been up for a few days, and I'm sure it'll get many more. But yeah, that was great. It was nice to meet you, yeah. And I really thought the energy was fantastic out there. So Jane's a wonderful lady. I certainly wish her the very best. I think she's running for city council out there. She should win that. She needs to win that. We need some fresh blood out there that isn't so political. You know, she's like, "Because I'm not into politics, I need to be here." And I'm like, "You know what, Jane? You're right. You do need to be there.
Yeah.
You got my vote, and I don't even live there, so I don't know how I'm going to vote for you, but we'll figure it out. Maybe I'll move out there just to vote for her." I was thinking about that.
Wow, amazing. That would be great. That would be great. On an aside note, Rex, I remember you said you had to get back to your son to bring him to school, and you had a 20-hour drive ahead of you. Did you, to Colorado, did you drive the whole 20 hours in one stretch, or did you take a couple of breaks?
Oh, no. I like to sleep every night. So I just broke it down into 2 days. And that isn't a whole lot of driving for me anyway. I did the math. I put on about 20,000 miles on my vehicles the past 6 months. So I've been all over the country getting news and reporting. It's been wonderful.
Amazing, amazing. Well, tell me, tell us, Lex, how did you ever get started in this field? This is a wonderful career you've got going. You've got so many listeners around the world.
Yeah, sure. So I've got kind of an interesting background. I've had probably 80 approximately different jobs. I mean, I would do something for a day. I'd get bored with it. I'd go find something else to do. Before I was even in my 20s, I was at about 35 jobs. So it really kind of took me a while to find my niche, but I started working for a Fortune 100 company back in 2006, and I was with them for several years, and I was pretty successful, kind of like the Formula One of sales. And, you know, people were just way above my caliber. I was just watching what they did and just going, wow. And I talked a lot about the same stuff throughout my jobs and, you know, careers that I do now anyway. So I've pretty much always been on the fringe side of knowledge. I've never really been absorbed by the brain drain media. I kind of went through a news craze for a few years around the 2000 time frame, got absorbed into that 2001 nonsense. But breaking out of it was really nice and really refreshing. So I don't know. I mean, I've always talked about the unknown. I've done research my whole life, but I really dug deep into it about 5 years ago when I was my boss was he was a turkey. Let's just put it that way. And we had our differences. My father-in-law was dying; he was almost dead, and my boss was just being a real jerk. And so I told him where to go. And I quit, mm-hmm. and I started doing Leak Project full time, and never looked back. So that was really the pushing factor to do just Leak Project. And since then, what a blessing to get out of that type of environment and just stick with Leak Project, because I've noticed the more I do, the more research, the different podcasts, ancient Sumerian tablets, the Gnostic texts, all the different research that I've done in connecting the dots, it seems as if something behind the scenes is almost laying out the path for me to find things. Everything, you know, just give you another example. Recently, I went out to China Lake when there was the earthquake out there. So I drove out to China Lake, and a Leak Project listener contacts me, and he says, hey, I've got a Cessna. If you want to go flying, let's go. And when the earthquake happened, the majority of the personnel in China Lake had to leave. So only emergency personnel stayed behind at the base. So normally you're not allowed to fly over China Lake. It's a no fly zone. Well, because most people were gone, well, that's... their regular. Well, go ahead. What's that?
Yeah, that's just amazing. Keep going.
Okay. Sure. We got a little bit of a delay here. So I meet up with my friend. We fly over China Lake at 10,000 feet elevation, and we didn't do anything illegal. It was he checked before. They didn't say we couldn't do it when we were over there and everything, so it was fine to do it the day that we did. But just the way that it all happened, just like it was laid out for me. So I've got about an hour and a half worth of GoPro footage, 10,000 feet elevation. No, I'm sorry, it's not quite that much as far as the footage goes, but it's a lot of footage. It's GoPro high definition attached to the bottom of the plane as we're flying over there. And it was incredible. And what I saw was just some very bizarre building layouts. And we flew over the epicenter of where the earthquake and the prequake happened. And there's some strange buildings there, to say the least. So whether or not it was natural or artificial, I can't confirm either, but there is a lot of chatter about there being some type of weapons testing at that location. But to add to the cool factor, and that was about as cool as it gets, it doesn't get much cooler than having a friend that's got an airplane and being able to fly over China Lake after an earthquake like that. But while I was waiting for him at the airport, because there's a tiny little airport out there, just a dinky one, so he is still on the plane. So, I got 40 minutes to do something. I'm going to go do a podcast. So I drive up the street, and there's this really huge field. There's maybe a couple houses, and the field goes on for hundreds, thousands of yards. And I see these like concrete block place, these concrete blocks that were poking out of the ground, just this flat ground. I'm like, that's kind of bizarre. It looks like a chimney. Why is there a chimney poking out of the ground? So I'm doing a live podcast, and I walk over to the first one, and I'm like, oh, okay, they're covering something up here. And then I see another one just down the street from me. So I go down, not even down the street. There's not a street there, down the field. So I go down the field, and I'm live streaming this. You can watch it on my YouTube channel. And the people that put this thing together, somebody took the top of it off and didn't manage to put it back on. So I could clearly see, you can clearly see a vent poking out of the ground. You've got this huge vent poking out of the ground, out of this field, which makes me think there's an underground base there. And I'm thinking to myself, why in the world would somebody leave the top off of this thing? I mean, they made a big mistake,
because yeah,
that
right.
makes it clearly obvious that there's a huge vent poking out of the ground, you know? So it's just neat
right.
how things kind of unfold like that, where I go out there, something happens. I was even, when I showed up at the hotel, I was doing a podcast out of my van in China Lake, at the town next to China Lake. And as soon as I get out of the van, I'm going up into the hotel room. Kristen's up in the hotel room, so I wasn't doing it in the hotel room. I was doing it in the van. So I'm walking up to my hotel room, and I hear this, hey, Rex. And I turn around, and this guy was watching my podcast live while I'm doing my podcast live in my van that lives out there, that watches the show. And I started talking to him, and then I interviewed him. So I interviewed this guy, and you can see this on my YouTube channel. This guy says when the earthquake happened out there, he saw the wires, the power wires start to glow red. What does that mean?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Wow. That's amazing. That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing. You know, I've got a lady here. I have to introduce you to. I hope you don't mind. Real quick.
No, of course not.
Regina Meredith. And she does a lot of her own broadcasts. Regina, why don't you say hi to Rex? He's a great guy.
Hi, Rex. I'm just looking into your work a little closer here. What an amazing array of subjects you dive into.
Thank you.
Looking at one you have here that's totally caught my fascination. It has to do with two of them, one of them, the Book of John, but also the latest understanding of Revelations, because Revelations really applies to this period of time, whether, you know, it's taking a view into past destructions or future. And I love the fact that you've been going there.
Thanks. Thank you. Yeah, I love the text.
And
they're fascinating.
Yeah. That is fascinating stuff. Most people don't think about that, but it's really relevant right now, I think. And anyway, yeah, I work for Gaia. I have a show called Open Minds, and years ago started a company called Conscious Media Network back in 2004 to do this video streaming thing on conscious material, and then have since just kind of, I'm doing double duty working for Gaia and then doing my own site, very similar work to what you do under my own name, which is
yeah.
ReginaMeredith.com. So you can probably just click it and we'll kind of be on to each other here.
Yeah.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, that's fantastic. I've got a lot of friends over at Gaia. The headquarters are wonderful. I think that place is great. Charlie's a friend of mine and awesome. Yeah, that's fantastic.
Have you been into Gaia to do any interviews or
not
whatnot?
Yet. Not yet. Hopefully in the future. Hopefully in the future. I haven't yet, but they did say if I was ever back in the area that they would set aside an office for me and I could do like a live stream maybe out of the office if I wanted to do a podcast. We talked about that. I mean, we never confirmed it, but in the future,
okay, well,
we'll see what happens.
Yeah, they have this new facility. They're doing live streaming, and someone like you would be perfect for it. They're tending to invite in a lot of people who've been well-known over the last 30 years who are kind of, it's very tiring for them, honestly, and you cover so many topics, I would think you'd be a really good fit.
Oh, that'd be fun. Yeah, I'd love that. Thank you for the compliment. I'll send the check's in the mail.
Do let me know if you're interested, and I'll see if I can put your name before the lady that makes those decisions.
Cool. Yeah, much, much appreciated. Absolutely. That would be fantastic. I will send you an email. I'm sure I can get your information after this show.
Indeed.
Cool.
You could always write me, and I'll forward it on too, buddy. So either way is fine.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah,
yeah.
Fantastic. That'd be wonderful.
Yeah. Okay, great.
So,
great.
Revelation. No, I was just going to say about Revelation. I'm glad you brought that up
yeah.
because that's one of my favorite in the New Testament anyway. I mean, I've read so many different scriptures and belief systems and studied them for years, but Revelation is so fascinating because it's got so many different levels of knowledge. And it's also got astral theology mixed in there. And the more I've been diving into these ancient texts, it seems as if they're saying several stories. Like, not only are they mixing in politics and events that are taking place, sometimes they're taking older stories and adopting these ancient gods and deities and replicating them in the newer storyline. But what's fascinating is when they mix in the astrotheology aspect of it. So the more research I've done on Jesus, Jesus meaning the new Zeus, Jesus, the new Zeus, Zeus in the Roman pantheon was Jupiter. Satan meaning the adversary, Satan might be Saturn. Now, Satan, Saturn worship, Saturday, Saturday used to be the day of worship. Now, Christians worship on Sunday, which is underneath the sun. So if you look at a lot of these scriptures, not only are they talking about certain events that are happening in the heavens, but also it's like the micro and the macro at the same time. These events that are happening in the heavens are also affecting us down here in a particular way that cause us to do certain things. I mean, people talk about how much the moon affects your personality and your mood. Well, so do the planets. And that's what a lot of these scriptures are connected to. And the more research I do, the planets seem to always have a connection. It's fascinating.
Yeah, it is absolutely fascinating. And you look at kind of the same characters regarding the sun popping up again and again as reanimating on the planet as, you know, the personages of Buddha, Jesus, Mithras, and so forth. And that same energy is back big time trying to get us through this period of time with some wisdom.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing. And then I've got a friend that is really good with Vedic star charts. So if you tell her your birth date and the location, she's been doing it for so long that, and she's got the software, she can tell you stuff about yourself that you're like, wait a second, you work for the FBI? I mean, have you been watching me? Like, how do you know that?
But
it's amazing how much just your birth date and location can say about you.
Yeah,
absolutely. That's fascinating.
Yeah.
Have you had that done yet?
Not yet. I'd love it done. But anyway, you'll have to send me her contact information. Yeah, I'd love it. That'd be fun, Rex.
Sure.
That'd be fun.
Cool.
I just scribbled a note to Regina, and I, you know, we've got about easily 40 or 50 or 140 or 150 hours worth of topics here. I just looked at just a couple of your YouTubes. Let's see here. Let me look at this real quick. You've got one here. Let me see. Anunnaki replacing humanity with a more resilient worker class. Let's see here. Maritime in the secret space program. Andy Kramer. I know Granny. He's a good man. But just all kinds of stuff here. The mind-blowing evidence words to literally change matter. Ancient text translated.
Guess who influenced me on that one?
I'm sorry, what, Rex?
I said, guess who influenced me on that one, that podcast, that I really got inspired when I went out there and met you and Michiko?
Oh, yeah, Michiko, yeah. She has great presentation as well about the power of water, power of words, what Dr. Moto did with his beautiful work, and now she's carrying it on and does hado treatments with people, the power of love and gratitude, making this world a better place. I mean, it's a simple message, but it's a very profound message when you realize that Dr. Moto, Michiko, is right about love being the most important, powerful force in the universe. And this is something that my friend Albert Einstein has told me many times, too, and the Beatles were right. All you need is love.
Indeed.
Yeah.
What the world needs now is love, sweet love, right?
I've heard that before somewhere. Yeah. That's right.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Well, what was great about that is after I interviewed you and then her, or actually I think I talked to her and then you, and then the next day I looked at my email and this somebody that watches the podcast watched that one and said, hey, look, I'm doing my own experiment. These are three jars of rice. And he has three jars of rice. He sent me some images. And for several weeks, he would talk to them. And he had one jar that says ignored, and he just ignored that jar. And he cooked, so this is all cooked rice. So he did cooked rice, put it in three jars. On one of the jars, it says love. One of the jars says ignored, and one of the jars says hate. And, oh, my goodness, you can clearly see. You don't even need a microscope for this. You can clearly see with your own eyes the one that says hate. It looks like this moldy, nasty. There's three different colors of rice in there that just look terrible, looks toxic. The one that says ignored, there's this little patch of mold, and the rest of the rice is really white, and there's this one patch of mold that almost looks like an eye, which makes me think, wow, he put ignored on there, and the rice wants some attention, so it's trying to look for attention with an eye. And then the one that says love on it, it was more of like a cream rose color, not quite as white, but it had no mold, none.
Yeah. And you know, one of the things you can really do to help your Yeah, well, I know it. I know. Okay. You know, one of the things you can do to really help your car out is simply write love and gratitude all over the engine. It'll raise the vibrations. It can help the mechanics, too. There's actually a funny story about Dr. Emoto, Michi told me, where he would buy buy a really cheap bottle of wine, something that's not very, doesn't have a good taste or whatever. Well, he would write love and gratitude all over the bottle, maybe put some love and gratitude crystals on it. And within a couple of days later, he said that he'd have some of the best tasting wine in the world because the vibrations would rise so high.
I believe that. And on the subject of the car, your car, one of my mentors in life was a wild Russian woman named Vala Bovi. She married a Frenchman eventually. Mm-hmm. But she used to drive in her 80s from Berkeley to Tehachapi to teach ballet classes every single week, which is a good 7 hours, probably a 6-7 hour drive from Berkeley.
Oh, wow.
No air conditioning, no radio, in this car named Pandora that was just a wreck on wheels. And I said, how does this even happen? She goes, I love my Pandora. And she'd get in, come on, baby, I love you. And that thing ran, I think, for 30-some years. When I don't even know if she changed the oil the last 10 years.
Yeah. That's funny.
Nice.
But that's true, though.
That's true. You know? It always started up, even when it shouldn't have.
I have to tell you this. This is something from President Kennedy. He told me about a year and a half ago. And there was a caller who'd come on my radio show asking Nostradamus about, or no, asking President Kennedy about our current administration. I don't want to get into politics, but he said that President Kennedy said that even during his administration, people were always criticizing him for everything he did too. And even if you disagree with somebody, to always send them lots of love and light to make the best decision possible, because the positive thoughts will help them more than negative thoughts. That's what he said. So.
But that's true.
Yeah.
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 Good.
Yeah. Yeah. So I
good reminder.
That. Yeah. Good.
Because we're so polarized.
We're so polarized, and we don't need to be. One of the things that President Kennedy has said too is that once we realize we all have the spark of the Creator within us, or God, we will never want to fight with each other again, because it's silly. We're fighting among ourselves, basically. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Rex, are you there?
I'm here. Yeah, I'm just thinking that's fascinating. President Kennedy was such an inspiration to so many people. And being a little bit before my time, I just have a chance to listen to the speeches that have been recorded. Just the energy that emitted from him is fascinating. And it reminds me actually of a podcast that I did with two incredible remote viewers, and Daz Smith and Dick Allgaier. And they did this remote viewing project. They remote viewed President Kennedy when he was assassinated. And they watched him leave his body in spirit form. They felt his emotions. They talked about it. And it was just, wow. I mean, they had this whiteboard out and stuff. And the way that he described it to me made me feel better about the next side, I guess you could say, or the other side, as some people call it, because they talked about him just, when it happened, he felt like he felt at peace, like he had done what he needed to do. And then they talked about what he saw after, and I was like, wow, it was incredible. The afterlife was, the way they described it, was mind-blowing.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that.
Rex, I have a question about that. If I'm not mistaken, wasn't he warned that such an event could occur? I mean, wasn't he aware that if he walked into that situation, he would be or could possibly be assassinated, and perhaps chose to do that because as they saw he felt he had contributed what he could up to that time, or that he had contributed what he could. Is that possible?
I mean, it's certainly possible, and I have heard that possibility as well. I do not remember them saying that specifically. However, bringing it up the way that you did, if he knew about it going into it, I'm kind of thinking of the film Flash Gordon, where Flash Gordon is, you know, he knows that he's going in to possibly die, but he's going to save the world in doing so. So it's like worth it.
Yeah.
The sacrifice is worth it to him. Maybe. I mean, like, wow, what a way to go.
Yes, it's almost like having left behind something that was beyond a legend, even that was a dream and remnant that we could look back to try to reestablish one day.
Oh yeah,
you know, absolutely. My friend, I have to tell you, we don't have a lot of time to discuss this, but that's the same message I got about Dr. Moto too when he passed in October 2014.
Oh, interesting.
Same thing.
Yeah,
that he knew he was going to be passing subconsciously. President Kennedy was warned by, I'm trying to remember the name of the psychic. She was a famous psychic, and she did warn him before going to Dallas not to go.
Was it Jean Dixon?
Jean Dixon, that's right. Jean Dixon. I'll try to look it up now.
That's
the web,
what I thought, yeah.
If I can.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, and presidents do still have their druids. They still turn to their seers.
Right.
And so if they respect them, he would certainly have understood.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
She said she left messages for him at the White House, and I don't know whether he got the message or not, but she did see him getting assassinated. And I'll look it up quickly on the web to see if I can find out anything about it. I do have a computer
I'm
now.
I'm just glad he's still back in touch with you and others.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Absolutely. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Yeah, he's still our president on the other side. And it started with me back in February of 2015 when I was preparing for my radio show, Rex and Regina, and I was wondering what Albert Einstein would say about what's happening today. And I've been thinking about it all day. And I walked out of this library about 3 o'clock in the morning, and it was a misty day. And I come from a psychic family, so it's not uncommon for spirits to talk to me audibly. So I walked out and I heard this voice saying, "I hear you want to talk to me." And I looked around and I said, "Who's this?" And he says, "Albert Einstein." And I said, "I think I better sit down." So I sat down and I ended up talking to him for the next 3.5 hours. And then he introduced me in turn to Leonardo da Vinci, who introduced me to Robert F. Kennedy. And when I talked to Robert F. Kennedy at length about his assassination, and I said, "I'd love to meet your brother." He says he's right here, and I've been in contact with him ever since. So anyway, but he's a good spirit, and he's still on the other side. And here's an article from Jean Dixon that she predicted JFK's death. I just pulled it up on the it's actually a newspaper article that's from the LA Times, dated January 26, 1997, that she had predicted her President Kennedy's death, and that she tried to warn him as well. So, yeah, interesting. And actually, I heard that Abraham Lincoln had a dream about his assassination before he was murdered as well.
Yes, I've read the same thing. Yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
In fact, his story is really interesting, mm-hmm. about what ultimately became his famous work. It was a young girl psychic who he actually talked to and he turned to at one point. She was known in the day for her psychic abilities, saying, "What happens if mm-hmm. I do this thing, mm-hmm. if I free these people who are enslaved?"
Right.
And she told him what would happen if he did not, and that really became... And he admitted in the day, and I can't remember who the scribe was for this, mm-hmm. that became the basis of his decision to continue on with his work.
Wow. Amazing. That's amazing.
That he did honor these messages from those he knew to be credible.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Rex, in your work, have you been contacted by great spirits in the past during your dream state or anything like that, Rex?
I mean, I think so, but the way that my brain works is I'm as scientific as I can be as far as just wanting to get the evidence. So if somebody says there's radiation, I'm going to go out and buy a radiation detector. I'm going to see if there really is radiation or if it's just something that they read on the internet. But I have had some wild experiences where I feel like I've had contact. Can I verify it with scientific evidence? No, but I've had people as well. Well, I'll give you a prime example. I don't know if you've heard of the, there's this spirit box out there. They're really expensive. And if you could even get one, they're like $5,000 to $7,000. This guy that makes them is, he's got hundreds of thousands of subscribers on YouTube. I think he's close to 1 million subscribers. He's got his own TV show. And his name is flipping off the top of my head. But these spirit boxes he makes, a few people that have them, one of the gentlemen's been on my show a few times, and we were calling up, we're making contact with different entities, and Enki has responded. So I've gotten responses from Enki, which is, I mean, my favorite talk about.
Really?
Yeah. Oh yeah. And this is all on my YouTube channel too. And Enki goes, Enki loves you, Rex. And that was awesome. That was amazing. So, and then there was another time we did a spirit session. And we weren't even talking to the, at least I didn't even mean to talk to the Anunnaki. We were talking to, we were trying to get in contact with, one of the greatest, he just passed, he's a comic writer, star, Spider-Man, Stan Lee, we're trying to contact Stan Lee. And instead of Stan Lee that comes through, I play a joke. I'm playing a joke while we're contacting these spirits, and I put on a reptile mask, you know, because I'm just a goofy dude. So I put on this reptile mask, and these spirits were contacting with us before I did that. Like, we're getting all this action, all this audio. And then I put that on, and then it just gets quiet. Then they basically stop talking. And then a minute later, it's Enlil is enraged, comes out. Enlil is enraged. So I'm like, uh-oh, oops. Because if you study the tablets, the Sumerian tablets, Enlil, many think, is Yahweh. Enlil is the one that was a part of the council that helped decide the factor of, you know, flooding the planet and getting rid of that version of humanity. So when that came out and said Enlil is enraged, it kind of spooked me out a little bit because, you know, I don't want to be a no flood. I think that would kind of suck, but that was just really weird, man. So, I mean, this spirit box picks this thing up and it shoots it out there, and we weren't asking for Enlil or we weren't communicating with the Anunnaki, so that was kind of odd.
That's fascinating.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. I think there were two.
Sorry about the joke, man. It was just a joke.
Yeah.
With the mask that I put on is what I'm thinking. Fellows... I was like, anyway.
What I was going to say, Rex, I interviewed two fellows the same week that were involved in this, and one of them, Esposito was one, I've forgotten the name of the other, one of them is the inventor of the spirit box, but they handed me the weirdest thing at the end. He said, this is a little gift, and what it was through the spirit box, they had recorded obscenities from people on the other side, all the various cuss words that they'd been using, people coming, bleeding back through from hundreds of years ago in the cuss words of the day, taking it to an all-time spirit low.
Was it the Huff spirit box by any chance? Because that's the guy I was thinking of. Huff Paranormal is the name of the box that this other gentleman was using. It's a really famous box. But, oh, man, a bunch of swear words coming in different timelines. That'd be interesting.
That is so cool that you were able to contact at that level instead of, this level. These were recorded in an insane asylum, by the way.
Talk about some paranormal stuff. Go to one of those places. Actually, scientific evidence, I guess. I've got some scientific evidence that you could say, yeah, that looks like a ghost. When I was at, there's this, it's a dilapidated prison that was shut down, I think, 10 years ago. And it's in the mountains in Tennessee. And it had some real big prisoners there, like the guy that assassinated Martin Luther King. And now they do prison tours out, like they'll do tours out there, ghost tours. And I went out there. I was invited out there. I went out there and met my friend Jeff Daugherty from the Christian Whistleblower Channel. And we were out there doing a tour, and I found out that it was actually built over a Native American burial ground, and that people had seen graves in this one area and stuff. But I was talking to Jeff, and Jeff had been on a fast for a week, and he said that, like, we're walking, and all of a sudden he's like, whoa, dude, what was that? And I'm like, what? And he said this thing, like, crawled underneath his legs and then took off and is, like, some half dude or something like that. And I was like, really? Okay. And so then we were walking a little bit further, and we walk into this cafeteria area that's really, really haunted. And we're talking about that experience that Jess had. And as we're talking about it, this other guy takes a picture. And in the picture, you can see this skeleton-looking dude that his flesh looks like a zombie skeleton dude. Clearly tell it's an apparition of something in between my legs looking up at me like they were talking about. So that's on film. So that's kind of scientific. You can see that on my YouTube channel. That was very interesting. There's a lot of weird stuff that follows me around when I do those kind of searches. Yeah, I mean, it's exciting.
Well, it's always a good idea, Rex, when you're doing stuff like that, especially paranormal things, to cover yourself in a cone. It's always a good idea, Rex, to cover yourself in a cone of white light when you're doing investigations like that. Cover yourself in a white light and then put a series of mirrors facing outward around you and ask God and the angels to put that into effect for 24 hours for your highest and best good. Because sometimes when you go into the paranormal side and you contact negative entities, they can come in, cause you problems, or try to even attach you. I don't see any problems with you, but I mean that you had any problems like that. But I'm just saying it's a good idea just to have those defenses up.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, that's a great idea. And I was just going to, before I forget, to also add to what we were talking about with Dr. Emoto's work. So one of the buildings that was at this prison location was the newest building that they had there, but it was also where they left the most violent criminals. So the criminals that they had there would get an hour a day outside of their confinement, and that hour would be in an open courtyard, but it would still be like their own courtyard, basically. So the only sun that would come in would come from the top, but it was still enclosed. And that building, even though it was the newest building, was the most dilapidated and in the worst shape. And that building is where one of these poltergeists or entities hangs out, which was a guy that was kind of like one of the alpha prisoners that died while working out by the other prisoners. They took him out while he was bench pressing or something. But it was just interesting that that building, being so much newer than the other ones, was in such worse shape, and it's because of the energy.
Mm-hmm.
The darkness that's there. It's like the paint's falling off the walls. I mean, it's like something out of Resident Evil, you know? I mean, it's wild.
Sure. If you do have negative energy in a place or a home, it's always a good idea to put a little sea salt in each of the four corners. Then it's always a good idea to burn lots of sage. Now, if you're in Eastern Washington, Eastern Oregon, sage grows wild. Parts of Nevada, same thing, Arizona. You can just burn it, and the good spirits like sage. The bad entities don't like it, and they'll go away. That's a very simple thing you can do. Anyway, that's true, though. Those negative thought forms are still there. And it's always a good idea to spiritually clean a house whenever you buy it, or you buy a used car. You don't know who was in there before, because you can pick up negative entities, negative energy, and negative attachments if you don't do that.
Sure. Yeah, sage is great. And it's free. That's perfect.
Yeah, and it's free, yeah. You pick it up and dry it, and it'll burn naturally. Have you had any guests on your wonderful YouTube channel, Rex, about time travel, like John Teeter? I don't know if you anyone like that.
Oh, yeah, I know John Teeter. Talk about the legendary. Certainly a lot of the stuff that came out about Mr. Teeter, actually, I was never a big follower of John, but a good friend of mine was, and he said a lot of stuff that originally came out, the original forums, it's not even there anymore. So
really?
To get the real information. What's that?
Oh, really? So what, it's been cleansed off the web, or?
Well, a lot of stuff that people see now isn't the original. So that, to me, adds the possibility that there could be something there. It's just, I find it really difficult. Like, why would somebody need to come back from the future that needs a circuit from an IBM computer that was built in the 80s? And I'm just thinking of along the lines of like Ray Kurzweil, because if you've read The Singularity, if you understand the advancement of technology within 200 years, you're going from radio signals to nanotechnology that can recreate itself at the level of DNA level, where it can move strands of DNA around and actually rewrite code. You could throw it into some sewer water and make a MP4 player or something, you know, create some plasma screen out of some nanobots and sewer water. So I don't know why you would need to come back for that chip. However, with that said, that is the best possibility out there that I've seen of somebody that actually documented their time travel. So maybe there was something to that chip. I don't know. There could have been. But yeah, I interviewed this guy once that claimed to have been like a clone of John Peter, and that was on my on Leak Project. That was a couple years ago. I wasn't convinced of his story. I mean, I appreciate his opinion and stuff, but I almost feel like he was. I don't want to say anything more, but I just wasn't convinced.
Let me share this real quick, and then I want Regina wants to ask a question. There was a a Twilight Zone episode I watched several years ago, where a fellow had come back and he wanted to see what his parents were doing. Unfortunately, his mom falls in love with him, but he's her son. And if she doesn't marry, he realized then if she didn't marry his dad, then he wouldn't exist in the future. So he had to break it off, and he went back to his time zone. But it was an interesting issues, actually.
Something similar to that story came up in a movie called, I think it was Chances Are, with Cybill Shepherd and Robert Downey Jr.
Okay.
Where it's the same thing. She died young. They were lovers, right?
Yeah. Right.
And he died young. He comes back as her daughter's boyfriend.
Oh, wow.
And now it's complicated.
Yeah, because they recognize each other. What are we going to do with this? So
I was just going to ask if you, either one of you, know the work of Cynthia Sue Larson, professor at Berkeley. Mm-hmm. Absolutely delightful person. Mm-hmm. Her thing is time jumping, and she writes on it. And she is a very articulate, very sweet, kind person. She doesn't get into time jumping on any of the more salacious levels, you know, like a lot of Andrew Bujago and some of the other people we've interviewed. Mm-hmm. Hers is just direct, sweet, practical, and useful. And you guys might both enjoy interviews with Cynthia Sue Larson. Do you know her, Rex?
No, but as you said her name, I typed her name in a search, and I would think that would be a wonderful interview. Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, she has great stories. So, yeah, I mean, I think we're all absolutely fascinated with the nature of what time is or isn't. And I think she just adds a really beautiful piece to this story.
Oh, yeah, you know, and actually, speaking of time, that's funny you said that, because when I had the conversation with Ted the other day and he brought up the fourth dimension being time, then I did some more research into dimensions. Because some people talk about 5D, 6D, 7D, and I really like to grasp something. So if I'm going to talk about something, I really want to understand it. Otherwise, I'm just like, yeah, I know a little. This is what I know about, but I make it very clear that I don't want to talk too much about it, because I don't feel good about describing something that I know little about. So I start looking into these dimensions, and then I found this one video on 11 dimensions. And talking about the 11th dimension being so far advanced that we can't even understand it. But what was interesting is I discovered an article by New Science, either New Science or NewScientist.com recently. I wrote about this, a podcast on it. They discovered, here it is, in attempts to recreate the brain, there's a brain program called Blue Brain. They're attempting to recreate this massive brain with technology. They were peering into the human brain, and they discovered that it could create up to, in some areas, it was creating up to 11 dimensions in the human brain.
Yeah, well, my spirit friends say there's 12 dimensions, 12th being the supreme being who created all of this, with all the other 11 dimensions below that. I've been told that I came from the 11th dimension to come down, all the way down to third dimension. Mentioned to Earth to help with the ascension, and I've been here for 52,000 years or 720 lifetimes. And this is my last lifetime before I get to go back to my home planet. So
we'll make you have as many cinnamon sticky buns as you can then before you go back to non-physicality.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah,
hey,
you
Rex,
go. What's that?
I have a room full of wonderful people here. Maybe somebody would like to ask a question. Is there anyone like to ask a question of Rex and one of his many, many videos?
What's his last name again?
Rex Bear. B-E-A-R.
B-E-A-R.
Yeah, as in the animal. That, Yeah, yeah. So, okay, we're all.
I found the article. Science Alert. Scientists find evidence the human brain can create structures in up to 11 dimensions.
Wow, that's amazing.
Wow. Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah. Yeah,
it's incomprehensible.
Yeah, it actually fits in what I've been told by my galactic friends of the 11th dimension. So, anyway, yeah, it actually really fits.
Did you hear about the mini brains they're making in a laboratory?
The what?
They are creating miniature brains in a laboratory that can duplicate the same brain waves. They are duplicating the same brain waves of preterm babies. And they're making them out of stem cells from skin and blood. And they're in red vats of broth in petri dishes. They're like these white blobs. And within a few months, they're thinking like human brain. Now, this is, think about this. This is from skin cells. This is from somebody's skin.
Oh,
they're creating brains in a laboratory. Right now.
Wow. Is the head of the head of
what
the head scientist
wrong,
of that
Ted?
Effort?
What could go wrong with that, man?
Oh my God. Well, is the head of the head scientist, is his name Dr. Stein, first name Frank, middle initial N?
let's see who this is. For the mini brains? No, the mini brains gentleman is Dr. Allison Matree. Or Matree.
Oh,
Dr. Allison Mutrie.
Yeah, I was thinking Dr. Frankenstein.
UC San Diego.
So anyway. Yeah, okay.
Well, you have to wonder what the value of the brain is going to be if it doesn't have a soul animating it.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Right.
What does that give us?
Yeah. And what kind of price would Walmart put on it?
Yeah.
About $3.97?
Yeah, it'd be really cheap at Walmart, but they'd put fluoride and extra GMO. And like, you got to have extra glyphosate in that mini brain. Otherwise, it's just not good enough for you. It's to preserve it. Like, oh, yeah. Can I get extra Roundup with that, please?
Yeah. It's crazy. Lori McDonald is here, and she's another wonderful lady who wants to ask you a question, Rex. I hope you don't mind.
Not at all.
Hey, Rex. Just curious about your work on Revelations. It's been indicated that the King James Version used Shakespeare to write some of those seven seals. Is that something that he's come across? But Shakespeare's involvement?
No. However, with that said, what I did come across is the King James Version Bible. There was a priest. I did a podcast on this also. I could probably find it, that put everything together before the King James Bible. It predates it, and it doesn't. I didn't see any connections with Shakespeare. Now, that said, there might be something there. I have never even heard that before, and that's fascinating. What I have found with the Revelation is the multi layers of knowledge. So it's like cyclical timeline. So it's talking about stuff that you can think of at any time. Because when has there not been rumors of war? Well, there's always rumors of war.
Right.
That's one of the things.
It's surprising that they call Mars the planet of war.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
This brings in another issue I have to tell you about, Rex. So about a year and a half ago, I had a nice lady call me from Toronto, and she said, "Ted, could you give me a reading on this?" And I said, "Sure." And what it was is that she'd had this Bible on her fireplace mantle for more than 10 years, maybe 15 years. She lived a long time in Toronto. And she opened it up one day, and she said that in the Book of Revelations, there had been a clause that I can't remember the exact words, but that we would all lay down with that the meek or the negatives would lie down with the lions or with the sheep, and that it, she said it changed one day to the lions, and she said lion and lamb, and then changed to wolf, and she hadn't touched it, but she said, is this an example of the Mandela effect? And I said that there's people and negative entities fiddling with our past, and this is yet one example of it. So you remember from your own timeline what it said, but yet you pull out Bible one day and it's completely different. So somebody's been fiddling with something.
Cynthia Sue Larson gets into that big time.
Okay.
It's Cynthia Sue Larson's work. She spends a lot of time on it.
Interesting.
I'm going to interview her for my book.
Oh, excellent.
On the Mandela Effect. Yes. I think the biggest change in the Bible is in the Lord's Prayer.
Oh, tell us about it.
I believe it was in Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that's now changed to in earth, which could indicate in earth as a simulation, or it could mean several different other things, but to change a conjunction like that is highly relevant. Now, I too have a family Bible with all of the births and deaths written in it, and that changed in my Bible as well.
Well,
to in earth instead of on earth.
Right. Nostradamus has told me that by 2030, we will have time. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, sorry, Rex, I didn't mean to interrupt, my friend. What did
you say? No, we've got a little bit of a pattern, like a delay. That's very interesting. I was just going to say for the person that just asked about the Shakespeare, and I brought up the person that wrote the King James Bible before it was actually released. Look into this. Samuel Ward. Look up the notebook of Samuel Ward. The notebook of Samuel Ward. And then you'll find out a little bit more. It's very fascinating. So yeah, that'll give you enough. That right there is a Pandora's box. I think there's plenty of stuff to research. But I'm sorry about that. I think I interrupted you.
Yeah, it's a major indicator.
Well, it's amazing, amazing. Rex, we've got about a minute left, and I want to thank you so much for coming on today. Your website is the Leak, L-E-A-K, project.com, and I want to give you the rest of the time now to wrap up your wonderful interview today, Rex.
Sure.
Thank you.
Well, Ted, thanks for the opportunity. It was wonderful to talk with you. The Leak Project audience loved what you had to say when you were on the program. We did that live show at the UFO conference in Yelm. So looking forward to the next conversation that we have, so that'll be even more amazing. I do podcasts 2 to 4 times a day. So if you're looking for fresh content, I've done over 2,700 podcasts. I get into the ancient tablets. I've read over 100 Sumerian tablets that were translated by Oxford or other means. And the reason I started researching these tablets is because I heard a lot about the Anunnaki and Zachariah Sitchin. I wanted to find out if Zachariah Sitchin actually made up the Anunnaki. He didn't. They've been talked about actually, the Anunnaki were somewhat taken out of the Old Testament, and then they changed that into a monotheistic god. So many of the gods that are described in the Old Testament are actually the Anunnaki. So with that being said, yeah, if you want to know more about these old tablets and storylines that go back before the Bible, I bring that stuff to the present. I connect all the dots. I also talk about nanotechnologies. I get into the 5G. I'm very well versed in the different frequencies that are being used. And we're just kind of an eclectic group here that I've got people that work with me as well. And yeah, also youtube.com/clandestinetimelord. You can subscribe for free.
Okay, wonderful. Well, Rex, thanks so much, my friend. I'm sorry we ran out of time. And everyone, I hope you've enjoyed today's show. Rex is a fascinating fellow, and I'm so glad you could come on today, my friend. Take care, everyone. I hope you all have a beautiful weekend. Thanks again, Rex, for coming on.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay.
You
take care. All right. Eddie. Bye-bye.
You know, Kanata ni